If there's ever a time that I need you to speak, it's this morning.
Yeah.
If there's ever a time that our people need to hear you speak, it's this morning. But Lord, if there's ever a time we need to act, it's this morning. Not tonight, not next week, not after homecoming, but oh God, I pray that you will speak to us and draw us and move us to a place of service and being used and usable. Lord, make us usable first and then use us not in our comfort zone, but in your purpose, I pray. Forgive me for failures of spreading your word. Forgive me for lacks and slack and laziness. And forgive me for loving this stinking world. God, I pray, oh God, I pray for thy wonderful power this morning in this service. In my heart, in my life, cleanse me, oh God, that I might be used of you just now. And I'm going to thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen carefully. The most important person in the world is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The most important. The most important. The most important thing is knowing Jesus Christ. The most important person is Jesus Christ. The most important thing to know is Jesus Christ. Right? The main purpose in a believer's life is getting close to Jesus, that we might be conformed into His image to bring Him glory. That's the most and main purpose, the most important thing in the believer's life, and the main purpose of your life is to get so close that you can feel His breath like John the Beloved. Okay? Right. The main, most important work of a believer is getting others to know Jesus Christ. Okay? Everybody follow me. The greatest need in a believer is to know all about Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul was an educated man. And he said that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, that I may know Him.
Yes,
that has been my life verse for many, many, many years. And it's my greatest need. Now, my body hurts, but that's not my greatest need for a touch physically. I think of the man that Marvin Smith told us about. I wish I could remember his name. Do y'all remember when Marvin Smith was here? And he told about the man that had 7 death diseases in his body. And he looked like he had been dead for a long time when you would look at him. He looked like he'd been dead. And they would literally pick him up out of the chair and take him to the pulpit and place his hands on the pulpit. And he would stand and preach. And they would pick him up and take him back. And many times from there, back to the hospital. But he wouldn't miss a preaching engagement. Marvin was talking about the one day that he preached. I have to go back and listen, but I'm almost positive Corey Ten Boom was in the meeting. Some of y'all may know who Corey Ten Boom is. And Marvin was just a young preacher. And when this man got up to preach, they brought him and he hugged the pulpit And all he could do was look up and say, with a sickening death cry, but the power of God all over him was, "Get right with God." And the people just flooded to the altars. And I'm sure that's who it was. Corey had looked at Marvin. She was sitting beside him and said, "Is everything all right with you, young man?" And to the altar, Marvin said, "He went." But my point is, the greatest need ain't my health. The greatest need ain't your health. The greatest need is not riches. The greatest need is not fame or fortune. The greatest need is not popularity or stuff. The greatest need of the believer is knowing all about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
See, when I know about a good doctor that I think can help, I'll try to get me an appointment. When I have a broke down vehicle, I don't get the feller that works at his house under the tree and got a 6-pack of Budweiser and laid out on a lawn chair and rolled by and said, "Can you fix my car?" Now I try to find a mechanic that I can depend on. And then I make an appointment with my vehicle. In fact, sometimes I might have to search and read and inquire. Huh? So I need to know about Jesus. So when the problems come, then I already know, well, he fixes that problem. I go to him. And then, well, he takes care of that issue. I'll just go to him. And all the needs of my life, I find out that it's him, but I got to know him before I'll seek him out. Or at least try to know him. Be okay? Everybody still all right? The greatest challenge of the believer is making Jesus Christ known to everybody. That's the greatest challenge. But the greatest question is, how far will you go? The greatest question is, how far will you go to get somebody to know Jesus? How far will you go? How far will you? Not how far will the church go. How far will you go? What will you do? What will you do? Now, if I was asked for a show of hands, we all have lost family, lost friends. And then we have a lot of lost strangers that will come in our path. But what are you willing to do? How far will you go to get somebody to know Jesus? How far are you willing to go? Now, we're going to look at some things here in just a moment, and it won't really be long. It really won't, I promise you. But the answer may be long. See, you're going to make a decision this morning. Everybody under the sound of my voice is going to make a decision, because you're going to decide how far you're willing to go. You ain't going to make it next week. You'll make it today.
Amen.
You'll make it today. Now, when we think about how far we're going to go, we're going to have to get rid of us. We're going to have to kill ourselves. Huh? Everybody still okay? Now, let me tell you what degree we've went to know other people. We go to a lot of trouble to know people here on this earth. All right? How many has waited in line to go see a star? Don't raise your hand. How many waited in line for a possible autograph? How many have waited in line for a possible cut price on Black Friday? How many is camped out? You see the news. People get in a tent. and will set up on a sidewalk to go in and see somebody or an event. Now, how much time, how much effort is given, huh, to hear him sing a song? Not a good song, but a song of vulgar cussing, drunkenness, dope, sex, and yet believers will stand in line, pay big money for a ticket, and go. That's how far you go. Okay? To see a fight. Well, stand in line, spend money, stand in line to go see people beat one another to a bloody pulp and watch naked women tell you what round it is and say, boy, I'd agree to it. A believer. A believer. We still okay? To watch a game. To spend money, hard-earned money, on tickets in bad weather. To go watch a ball game of professional status. Of whoremongers, dopers, and drunkards to watch them play a game will take our time. To watch lesbian harlots who could care less about you. But stand in line to watch them perform in nudity and to buy their tapes and to buy their YouTube programs and to download their trash. And you'll spend hours watching the videos and hours downloading the stuff and hours scanning your TikToks and Facebooks and what all them other talks are. But how far will you go to get someone to know Christ? You get someone to know the world. But how far are you willing to go to get somebody to know Christ? For that's the most important person in the world. And the greatest purpose you'll ever have in your life is to get somebody to know Jesus. And the only thing that matters in this life is knowing Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. How far will you go? How far will you go to get him to that? Now, we're not talking about where you go to Kenya. We're not talking about distance, although that may be included. It's hard to believe anybody would fly to Kenya when many people won't go across the street. It's hard to believe that we fly to Burma when we won't go to the bedroom of our children. How far will you go? It's hard to believe that someone would go to China or Peru or some other country when we won't roll over in bed and tell our spouse to get them to know Christ. How far will you go? I'm just asking. I'm not telling, I'm just asking. I'm just asking because, see, I don't know how far you'll go. I don't know. You know because it's going to be on the degree of importance. It's going to be on your place of priority. Whether or not someone knows Christ. All right? So let's look at some things right quick, and we'll let you go home. Revelation chapter 5, verse 12. Revelation chapter 5, verse 12, and it just says this. saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb." How about we just stop there and say, "Amen, preacher." You may not say amen nowhere else in a minute, but you can say to that. You can say amen to that.
Amen.
Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Not just worthy is the Lamb. How about worthy is the Lamb that was slain? Can anybody give me a witness of hallelujah? That worthy is the Lamb that was slain. To receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing.
Amen.
I think we can honestly say that He's worthy.
Amen.
He might be worthy to get to know.
Yes.
He might be worthy to tell. He might be worthy to worship. He might be worthy to praise. He might be worthy to serve. He might be worthy to let Him save our soul. He might just be worthy enough to live for Him. Hey, He might be worthy enough to die for Him.
Yeah.
Huh? What do you allow? I believe He is. I believe He is. So let's just see. Is He important enough? How important is it? How important is it? Huh? How important? We want a title this morning. It's not how far will you go. That was a question. The title is this morning, The Importance of Knowing Jesus. The importance of knowing Jesus. Write it down. Write it down. It'd be good for you to write everything. It'd be good for you to come to church to learn. It'd be good for you to bring your Bible. If you're a believer, it'd be good for you to carry your Bible to church. A believer without his Bible is like going hunting without a gun. Huh? Makes no sense. Then he ought to bring you a notepad and a pencil or a pen. I like a pencil because if it runs out of ink, you just take your knife out and sharpen it and keep it going. Huh? Right with the pencil. Bring you a marker. Bring you a typewriter. Bring you a computer. Bring you one of them hickeys you sit on your lap. I don't care. But you ought to come to get something out of the service. You ought to come to get something that's going to help you tomorrow and the next day. You ought to get something that's going to change your life instead of coming and flopping down and leaving the same way that you come in. It's time that we go on. There was something mentioned about 40 years. Can I tell you what I said will be a message somewhere in the next 12 months that we done spent 40 years in a wilderness. It's time to go on to a promised land, to a fulfilled Christian life.
Amen.
We okay? Let's just look this morning. How important is it? Well, I'll tell you how important it is knowing Jesus. It's important enough that God created the earth. Do you know that? Do you know the Bible says in Revelation chapter 13 that the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world? That before the world was made, Jesus had already died in the mind of God. And God said, "Now I'll make an earth and let it happen." So the importance of knowing Jesus this morning is important enough that the God of this universe made an earth to set His feet upon as a footstool. Huh? That we might know Jesus. It's important enough, huh, that people wait their whole life just to see Him. Well, I'll look in Luke chapter 2 and I'll see Simeon in the temple. When they brought Jesus for His first church service, Simeon grabbed Him and says, "Now, my eyes have seen. I'm ready to go now. I've seen Him. I'm ready. I'm ready to die. I've seen. I've waited my whole life to see Jesus." Huh?
Right.
We say, "Boy, I've waited my whole life to see that. I've waited my..." But can I tell you, I've waited for the last 50 years to see Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
That's how important to know Him, that you'll wait your whole life. Huh? We still okay? How about it's important enough when Jesus was born? When He was born, they were some wise men that traveled from another country and followed a star to try to find him, they took money and time and suffered storms and travel and heat and exhaustion just to go, well, there he is. Here's you some stuff. I got to go. That's all they did. Is that not true? That's all they done. They traveled for miles on whether they rode a camel or a donkey or walked. I know it wasn't a car or a plane or a motorcycle. From another country. Huh? To look and say, yep, there he is. Just that simple. How far will you go? How far will you go? The important, I just wanted to see how important that Jesus is. We still okay?
Yeah.
Important enough to leave all, just to follow him. Did not he come by? He come by the sea, and there was a couple men. Actually, they ended up being four: Andrew and Peter and John and James, all them boys. And he said, "Y'all follow me." And they just laid down their nets. The Bible says they laid down their nets and followed him. They didn't pack up. They didn't go home and say, "Hey, I'll be gone for a while." They laid down everything they had and followed until they died.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's how important it is. That's how important Jesus is. That's pretty important. I think that's pretty important. Maybe I'm wrong. Important enough to risk the night of being stoned as Nicodemus come by night. See, he was a ruler. Had he went to the other side in the open, they'd have probably stoned old Nicodemus.
Right.
Huh? Right? So he went by night. He risked. Now, people say, well, I've said before, maybe it was just nighttime. That's all he had time for. Maybe so. I don't know. I can just picture him slipping in. Hey, Jesus, I know you're sent from God. You must be born again. I don't understand how. You must be born again. You're going to have to look to me like Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. You remember? For God so loved the world. That's where John chapter 3 comes in. Mm-hmm. Huh? See, read your Bible the way it's written.
That's right.
It's an account. That's what happened. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Don't that make an exciting story? Mm-hmm. He slipped around. Jesus looks at him and said, you must be born again. How? Born of the flesh ain't enough. You've got to be born again. Then he tells him, men love darkness rather than light, closer to you. Gives that whole, have you read the third chapter of John?
Yeah, come on.
Read it like that next time. Huh? It's that important.
Yeah, right.
Sample, we still okay? Important enough for a little man to climb a tree.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right. Huh? Now, it'd be all right if he'd been a little boy. I'd understood that. If he'd been a little boy, one of the youth group, climb a tree, see Jesus, I wouldn't have thought nothing of that. Would you? Go little boys climb trees. I mean, that's just what they do. Marcus and them come home, you know, Marcus and Kelly come home, the kids, and we ain't got no big trees there that you can get a hold of, but they was a little tree. And they stood up there and they climbed in them branches. They moved to Tennessee. They had a climbing tree out front and a climbing tree out back. The first thing they went was got up and climbed a tree.
Amen.
That's normal for a kid.
Amen.
Huh? How many of y'all would climb a tree? Huh? Now, I talked to a man one time. Ashamed his dogs are bad. His coon dogs are bad because they wouldn't do nothing. Ashamed him so bad when he treated a bare tree. Ashamed him till that man climbed a tree. Out of shame. In fact, I talked him up it twice. I ragged on his dog so bad, told him I'd shoot it and leave it lay, and done all kinds of stuff. And I talked him up that tree twice looking for a coon. And there wasn't any pine cone on that tree, hardly. Huh? But would you climb a tree to see Jesus? It was important enough to Zacchaeus that he climbed a tree to see him. He thought it was that important. I ain't going to miss this. I just looking through the Bible, just seeing how important it was. I got to read you this because I can't tell it all to you. We okay? Everybody still okay? Turn to Philippians if you want to, chapter 3. Have you really understood how important it was to forsake who you was? You know, we're so proud of who we are. I mean, we're proud of who we are. You know, I'm proud of my name. Now, I'm not proud of everybody carried it, but I'm proud of my name. Yeah. Now, there's a lot of preachers in my family. That's good. You know, ain't that good? Y'all think that's okay? I think it's good. But can I tell you, there's a lot of drunks in it, too. I got people in my family that own bars, work a little bit on the prostitution side. Yeah. I mean, they all weren't preachers.
Right.
Okay? But I'm right proud of my name. In fact, my name carries a little bit. I may not be popular, but I'm well known. Right?
Yeah.
About everybody knows Mark Sechrist. Preacher Mark, about everybody knows. Yeah, many people come up to me in the store this week and said, "How you feeling?" I'm okay. Well, you ain't going to get no more ladders. Everybody knows I've been on a ladder. People I don't even know. No more risk for you. Well, let me tell you something. Everybody understand this? I'm not going to get on the roof this year. But if I get feeling better out next year, I'll probably be back up on it. I just don't think I can reach up there to get on there this year. But my name's pretty good. You know? But Paul, let me tell you what Paul thought. How about chapter 3 of Philippians? Let's look at verse 4. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the 8th day, stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew, of the Hebrews, and touching the law of Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Yet doubtless, and I count all things but lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. I think it might have been important to Paul. Do you think your life dung that you might win Christ? Do you think your life dung that you might have the knowledge of Christ? Do you think your life dung that you might just for the gospel's sake? Go on. Are you listening to me, boy? How important is it to you? It's important enough to be swallowed by a whale. Spit out on a bank. And he said, well, that's Old Testament. He preached the gospel. He preached grace. He was intended to preach law. He preached grace. And Jesus referred to it as Jonah was in a belly of the whale 3 days and 3 nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth 3 days and 3 nights. He used him as an example. It was important enough to have a man swallowed by a whale, carried from Tarshish to Nineveh, 3 days' journey by whale. Don't know how long it takes you to sail there, but 3 days' journey by whale. That's how far it is. From Tarshish to Nineveh is 3 days' journey by whale. Any takers? Any takers? Be a ride like you never had. Scenery like you never experienced. Can you imagine all the slime and guts of all the other fish and the acids that deteriorate your body and eat you away because you're dead and he done chewed you up and swallowed you? He said, well, it didn't happen. Well, you do think he had a picnic table set in there? He was dead. Chewed up and swallowed, a whale eating. The miraculous thing was he spit him back on the bank with a new walk and a new talk. Must have been important. What do you think? How about 1 Corinthians chapter 9? We still okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Hold on, hold on. Nobody get their panties in a wad. We're okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Everybody want to know, why did I get in the pulpit Sunday? With that lady that got saved Sunday morning, where you at? Hold your hand up. Hold your hand up for everybody to see it. Would she have got saved had not preached Sunday? Would she? Would she have got saved Sunday had not preached? Well, you should take care of yourself. If I had not preached, would she be saved or not? Huh? What if she had died this week? That's why I preached. Not to be prideful, not to just be tough. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. Not to look big, not to get sympathy, not to say, oh, we're going to be big. No, it ain't going to induce you. I went and preached revival this week. I could have canceled. But nobody expected me to. But you. Other preachers said he'll preach. Long Run said he ain't gonna cancel. He'll preach. But y'all said, I hope he don't go. Did he? Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I think I've done really well physically. God touched me. You men praying for me helped me more than you realize. We still okay? Now let's go back to verse 16. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to go after, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Explanation point. If I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, this dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. What is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge. That I abuse not my power in the gospel. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I have made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partakers thereof with you. The importance of Christ and the gospel is far greater than we understand. How far will you go to get somebody to know Jesus? Huh? Important enough to be arrested. Important enough to be arrested on purpose. Having a way to get out. Do you know that Paul only had to tell them, I'm a Roman citizen, and they would not have arrested him? But he wouldn't tell them, so they would arrest him and put him in jail so him and Silas could get the jailer saved, because that was God's plan. And I think there's some scripture that we can find. I believe maybe it's in Acts. I don't know whether Rick was preaching or I preached it in a previous message. You can go through Philippians and see about the ones that he was chained to and the people that come to hear him preach only because he was chained, that he won the man that he was chained to. But he didn't have to be chained. But he went far enough to be chained because it was that important. Would you be willing to go to jail to win a prisoner? Would you be willing to go to jail to win somebody unsaved? Boyd talked to a preacher over in Kenya whose son was supposed to go to jail, and the daddy went to jail in his place. And while he was in there, how many hundred was it? 4,000 people. And the time he was in jail, he preached and they baptized in prison. And he didn't have to be there. He volunteered to go because his boy was going to go, and he went in his boy's place because he couldn't find his boy, and he didn't want the name hurt, and he didn't want a bad testimony. So he went and served the time for his own son and didn't have to. And while he was in there, he won 4,000 people to the Lord. I just want you to understand, I think it might be important. How far will you go? How far will you go? Huh? If we look about Paul's life in 2 Corinthians 11 and 12, and he goes through all the perils and the this, and all the weaknesses, and being stoned. He talks about being stoned and being caught up in heaven, and then by the thorn in the flesh, and grace might be sufficient, all the way down through there, and you read, all for the sake of Christ and the gospel. I think he thought it was important. How far will you go? Will you go? Will you turn over in bed and plead with the one you sleep with? Will you go in the back room and plead with the one you fed and clothed and lives under your roof? Will you go across the street to the one that you throw rocks in their yard, or hey, maybe you help them, I don't know, but will you go to them? What about the man you ride to work with, or the men you work with, or the women you work with? The people you sit down at lunchtime. Will you go far enough to swallow your pride and open up your Bible and say, boys, after you, we got a little word for you here. And if they get up and walk away, let them. But do you got enough in you? You got enough in you to go to schoolhouse and carry your Bible?
Yeah.
And between classes stand and say, ye must be born again. You must be born again. Huh? Or is it important enough? Is it important enough to go back home to mom and dad? Say, mom and dad, I love you, but you're lost. Is it important enough? Is it important enough? Is that why all the apostles give their life? Is that why all of them was beat? Is that why all of them suffered a martyr's death? And you say, well, John didn't. You know, there'll always be some wiseacre in a church and say, yeah, but John didn't. You know, that's the you let them young punks. They stand up and there's a theologian, you know, 20-year-old theologian who knows more than the preacher. John didn't. Now, John didn't. How you know God's making you say that? I get sick of hearing all that junk. Huh? I've been hearing it and I'm sick of it. In this church, I'm tired of it. John was boiled in oil, history says. Didn't kill him. Should have. You be boiled in oil. Anybody here want to be any takers? Just for the gospel's sake. Huh? How about we put you on a rock pit, beating rock, huh, with one of them old hammers? Like they did on Patmos. Huh? So which would be better? Cut his head off or do what to him? I think he served just as big a martyr's death as the rest of the saints. Huh? We okay? Huh? I'm not being mean. I'm running out of time. I'm not being mean. I'm running out of time. What am I willing to do? How far will I go to reach the lost? Huh? It was far enough that God, so important that God, put on a robe of flesh to condescend from heaven, to put on flesh that he might suffer, bleed, and die, and rise again, that people like us that deserve nothing might know him. must be pretty important. What do you think? Huh? Must be pretty important. I'm going to quit with this. Cheryl, go to the piano. Play when I tell you. Just as I am without one plea. Play when I tell you. We know the song. Get it up on the board. Get it ready. We're not going to hesitate. We're not going to wait. When I tell you to play, Clark, come up here, find a microphone, get ready to sing. I'm going to read you this, and then I'm going to quit. I want you to listen very carefully. Back in November, Scott Pauley's best friend, Stephen Terrell, was a missionary in Iraq. And he graduated Crown, went to the mission field. Him and his wife and kids went to the mission field. He had a burden for Islamic people. He had a burden for them. And he couldn't say he was building a church because he was in a Muslim country. Islam in Baghdad, that's a pretty tough place. Baghdad, we're talking 2022, Baghdad. Okay? So what he would do, they had a school, and he was teaching English as a second language. And he was winning people to Christ. Winning people to Christ. Well, they found out what all he was doing. And just right before he got to his house, they shot him, killed him. November, this past year, they killed him. It's on the news. Not a whole lot about news. Not a whole lot about his preaching. Just that American citizen died. He was killed. Well, that's why he was killed. Left his wife and three children. Okay. 2022. Not 69 A.D. Not 300 A.D. Not 1500 A.D. during the Dark Ages. I'm talking about an American citizen that was well known in around Tennessee and best friends with Scott Pauley, the preacher, and Mark Fowler, Marcus's pastor. Best friend. Talked every day. Right. His wife spoke Wednesday. Give a testimony at the South Florida Baptist Fellowship. And I heard this and it has beat me to death. It has worn me plumb out. So I'm going to share it with you. This is what his wife spoke this past Wednesday at South by Baptist Fellowship. Now I want everybody to listen closely. About her husband who was a martyr. A modern day, November 2022, American martyr for the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. After he died, of course they got her out of there as quick as they could. Temple Baptist and Clarence Tex and all of them, they got her home best they could, fast they could. Got her in there, got her safe. Now she was going through her husband's stuff. And she found this just not long ago. He'd been dead, buried. Alright, this is what she found in his stuff. And let me see if I can see it good enough to read it. All right. And it was any stuff. Now, it wasn't in a book. It was in any stuff. And they printed it and put it on the bulletin for the Southwide Baptist Fellowship meeting this past week. When she read it, all she could do was weep and thank God because they had committed their life to mission field in Iraq. The title of it says, When I Die in Iraq. That was the title of it. Not if I die, but when I die. When I die in Iraq. I will die knowing that this good little Baptist boy deserve the same hell as any violent criminal who commits despicable acts of horror. I will die having experienced the transformation of God's love and how He can make it into life. When I die, I will die with the love of God in my heart for Arabic-speaking people. When I die, I will die knowing I have obediently followed the direction of God for me and my family. When I die, I will die seeing that as we have stepped out into the unknown, God has met us and proven Himself to us in many mighty ways. When I die, I will die having the time of my life walking alongside my wife and children. When I die, I will die living a more fulfilled life than I ever dreamed I could live. When I die, I will die deserving or desiring that my legacy of faith will not be measured by buildings, but by changed lives, obediently following Jesus. When I die, I will die with a vision of the possible. Millions of Arabic-speaking people in the Middle East following Jesus and reproducing themselves in the lives of others. It is possible. Exclamation point. When I die, I will die with 1,000 unfilled dreams for reaching the Arabic-speaking world. When I die, I will die understanding that there is no difference between my heart and the heart of a violent criminal. It was my sin which Jesus bore on the cross. The heart of a criminal who needs to be redeemed from his wickedness is no different than the heart of a little Baptist boy who needed to be redeemed from his so-called goodness. All sheep need a shepherd because without him, there is no end to how far we as sheep would wander. When I die, I will die believing that no one is beyond the saving reach of the seeking Savior. The blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse a violent criminal in the same way that it has cleansed me. The power of the gospel is well able to change the life of any Arabic-speaking person the way it has changed me. When I die, I will die understanding that religion, any religion without Jesus Christ, can be used as a vehicle for the wicked intentions of an unregenerate heart to be carried out unrestrained. When I die, I will die understanding that unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. I will give an account of the opportunities affecting me by the possession of my blue passport. I have been given greater freedom and greater opportunity because of my nationality. Boldness is imperative. This is not time to hide. I have opportunities afforded to few others because of my skin color. When I die, I will die with a broken heart, both over the lack of compassion of God's people toward Arabic-speaking people, and also over the inaction of God's people to obediently advance the gospel in lands under the shadow of the crescent. When I die, I will die knowing that so much more could have been done by God's people to reach Arabic-speaking people with the gospel. Great opportunities have been squandered in the name of safety and wisdom. When I die, I will die knowing that I could have personally done more to get the gospel to every speaking people. I should have done more, given more, risked more. When I will die knowing that the battle of the souls of Arabic speaking people and any lost man will only be won with the blood and testimonies of those who fear God rather than by men who fear death. When I die, I will die knowing that anything good in me is because of my great Savior, my godly parents, and my godly influences. When I die, I will die knowing that I have cast my lot in the greatest cause which one can spend and be spent, making great the name of God among peoples who have yet to hear the good news of the gospel. May the Lamb that was slain receive the reward of his suffering. How far will you go? How far will you go? Will you go in the bedroom of your children? Will you roll over in the bed of your spouse, risking life and comfort and peace and you listening? How far will you go to your neighbors and to your friends, to your family, to your school, to your workplace, to your town, to the leaders? How many of our churches have went to the mayors, this me included, instead of just taking his testimony that he's a saved man, has sat down with a Bible and says, show me if your Bible's saved. How many went to the chief of police, who we know is not a Christian? How many went to the leaders of Jan Care, who haul us to make our bodies well so we'll miss heaven? Are you listening to me? How far will we go? How far will this church go? I thought, wow. Friday afternoon, I was given that to read. Help me on Friday night's message that I already had. You was there. I preached my heart Friday. I don't know what you're going to do. But don't get in my way. Don't hinder me. Don't speak no discouragement to me. That'd be cruel. Don't say, oh, you're going to burn yourself out. I hope. Oh, you're going to die at the heart attack. Oh, I hope. Oh, you're going to get crippled up. I'll borrow Jean's chair. I've used your walker. Jean, don't quit. Don't quit. Please don't quit. Whatever you do, honey, don't you quit. You encourage me every Sunday. Just know that. You encourage this preacher every Sunday. I love you more than you understand. We okay? Sing. Right now. Just now.